Jean.
Luke.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm really good. And you?
I'm good. Thank you. Yeah.
Nice to see you again, I guess, in NFC again. And yeah, I'm just happy to be here. And it's good to have a little bit more space than usual.
It's less crowded, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit less crowded, which is maybe not a signal that's so good. But I guess it's I feel like there's a kind of inertia. Mm-hmm. Like maybe the worst of the bear market was last year, and there's this kind of slower inertia movement, and it's kind of like it's hitting now, and it could have hit before. And you know, I don't know, I'm just like more optimistic for next year, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of like feeling like a lower curve, but you have lots of attention going back to NFTs and everything, and I think the hopes are pretty high right now.
It's
feeling better. Yeah.
Is that what keeps you here? Like, what are the reasons that you're?
Well,
I mean, because obviously it's been an interesting time, right?
It's been an interesting time. I mean, it's been a bit rough, like market-wise, but the answer is just that you can't do what you do here anywhere else. If your idea of being an artist is to explore many things and you know, try animation, interactivity, music, and all that, there's nowhere else you can actually combine this property to do art. I mean, obviously you could do try to do commercial projects and everything, but if you want to do it as art, like I do what I want art, it's outside of NFTs, I guess there's no, it's hard to do anything.
But yeah. That totally
so it's just the best place for it, basically.
Yeah.
And this hasn't changed, and it's something that you think when the bear market hits, you still have all the artists around, everyone is still trying to do new things, to explore, to experiment, and this never dies, whether the money or not is there. The only thing that dies is sometimes, like many artists have regularly said, okay, I'm out, I just can't, be a full-time artist in that space anymore, which is sad, but it doesn't mean that the creation is has stopped anywhere. It's like there's lots of great stuff happening, and I don't know, like art-wise, it's always exciting, no matter what. Yeah.
Those people that leave, like, do you think that they will come back, or do you think that people move on and then move on to different things?
I have no idea. I can't make predictions for that. Obviously, some people are going to come back, but it's also, I think many people became artists through NFTs and weren't artists before. And if that's the case, it's the first time you actually go what every artist who's been doing that for a long time, even outside of NFTs, goes through, is that at some point it's not going to work anymore. You're going to feel alone, you're going to be like, oh, I don't make any more money, or is it really a good idea to be an artist and everything. And even in the traditional art circles, it's really hard to get past the first one. You can have many ones in your career, but the first one is really tough. And I think many artists who just became artists through NFTs, they don't know that, and they're just like, all of a sudden, okay, it doesn't work anymore, too bad. And maybe they will just grow out of it because it wasn't like something they've wanted and built over long periods. But if you've been doing art for a long time, you're like, it's a season. It's like it's a winter, exactly, and it's okay, spring, we can go. It's just...
Do you, with those artists that become artists because of NFTs, like they weren't artists before?
Yeah.
Like, did you see a divide in that group from the artists who were artists before?
That's a good question. In terms of, I think generally artists who are doing art, no matter if it's NFT or not, the ones I know, I can't speak generally, but at least the one I know, they still continue to publish art and make art because that's what they do. So it's like, even if I'm not going to make ends meet through NFTs, maybe I'm going to do something else at the same time and do more traditional exhibitions and everything. And so they don't really, they can care about the market, but it's less important. It's more like it's something that you practice, whatever happens, you practice. And you create stuff, and if there's a bear market, there's a bear market. And if you have to make money another way, you make money another way, and it's not maybe that important. But if someone only knows art through NFTs, maybe it's it's hard to lose track of what you're actually doing as an artist. Mm. Because it's so, I'm trying to imagine, because it's not my case. So if you only knew that part of the art, just NFTs, it's like, it's very, you mint something, you sell it, it's very market focused.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you lose track of, I'm an artist actually, because I want to express that, to do that, to explore that. And it's there. That thing is not marketable. It's just something that your work become a part of that. But if you lose track of that, you only focus on the work and the sales, you don't have that to keep you going.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe it's harder for like only NFT artists to kind of realize that or feel it, or I don't know.
How is it as a traditional artist? I don't want to say artist, but like an artist who is like artist part of you, and you make things because you're going to do it anyway. And
yeah.
When it comes in the NFT space, like the idea that you have to keep up with social media and you have to please, you know, the scene, and have to follow these kind of rules that people say. I don't know whether it's totally true or not, but like you have to post every day.
Everyone
you have
has an
content.
Opinion on what artists should do or not do. And I mean, it's tough because we're in the social media age, and there's a kind of hive mind thing that is kind of, it can be good, but it has bad sides. And as an artist, you should always try to either realize in an intellectual way or feel with your guts if something is relevant to you or not. Because obviously, if you follow every advice, most of them are contradictory and you can't make any genuine thing out of it. So, like for example, some people are going to say, oh, you have to lower your prices. For some people, yeah, maybe it's the answer. For other people, it could be actually the opposite. Oh, you have to start thinking bigger, you know. And so it's every time someone interviews me and asks me, for example, the question you always have as an artist, like if you were to give an advice to young artists who just start, what would you say? I'm just like, I can't say anything. Like what worked for me doesn't work for anyone else sometimes. Or I can tell you something that worked for me at some certain point, but if I were to do it again today, it would not work too. So it's more like, I always think like being an artist is not, I don't know how to say it without being corny, but it's a spiritual thing. Not religious at all. It's spiritual in the sense of it's deeply intimate, and I cannot make progress in my work as an artist, whatever, if I don't understand how I feel about stuff, how I really feel about it, I mean, all the emotional part, and how it is in a very, very personal way. Mm. And if you lose that, you're just going to apply recipes. Some of them are going to work or not to work, but it's not the point. The point is, am I doing something that feels right now for me? Is it a good challenge, or a challenge that is more like destroying than rewarding? Is the risk not just worth it, but meaningful?
Mm.
You know, it's more like that. And to know if something is meaningful, if you pay too much attention to the noise or what people tell you, you don't have your inner guts thing. So it's like you have to take some time away from to feel like, oh, maybe this advice is not as good as I thought it was. Or sometimes it's like, oh yeah, this one really speaks to me. And actually, I think it's, you see like some synchronized stuff, like you think about something and then someone is going to tell you something and it resonates and you're like, okay, this makes sense right now. And so this is good. I'm going to work with that, or, you know. So yeah, to me, it's that's why it's hard to make generalities and say, you should do that. And it's just like, whatever, man, if you're an artist, take all the advices, but know how to filter and tune in sufficiently. It's very corny, but it's very important to tune in and just try to feel it. Like, is it worth something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've seen definitely terrible advice. You know, it's like the scarcity thing, for example.
Yeah.
I think we did kind of like the round trip. First, it was like, oh, art should be scarce for everyone, pay attention. And then at some point, there was the meta of everyone doing open edition. And
it should be available to everyone.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a good thinking too. And now we're back to more like scarcity or two. And you don't know, like for example, if you're Jack Butcher, you're going to have anyway, like hundreds of thousands of people who are going to meet your work, and it's scarcity doesn't make sense. But it's also, scarcity is, for example, it's not a one dimensional thing. It's just, it's not a spectrum from one available to a million available. It's actually more like 2D, 3D in a way of you can have scarcity in one kind of work, in a series, you know, or that, but within your whole body of work, I'm not really sure that matters that much. Obviously, if you're going to mint all the time and whatever comes through your mind, like it's more, but it's not about scarcity, it's about your ability to know what's worth it or not, what's going to last long and stay interesting, something that you will still be proud of in 10 years.
Yeah.
And if the answer you're not really sure, maybe you shouldn't mint it. It's just, so it's not scarcity, it's more like being able to filter and gauge the quality of your work according to your own feelings and standards and all that.
Yeah, I always thought of that as like a sort of almost like a market dynamic and availability depending on like your progress as a as an artist. Because sometimes like you have someone who like Xcopy, for example, or like who it to get a one of one is out of reach for most people.
Yeah.
And so creating, you know, editions makes sense if you want to have your work in the hands of more people and you want people to have a piece of you.
He's done it quite good, I think, because like obviously he's got his Max Payne open edition like that went crazy, like I don't know, like it was 7,000 mint or something like that, and also with Neon Glitch the Mutatio.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was crazy, but you know, it was, no one is going to say, oh, it's like he fucked up his scarcity. Now there's, I can't remember the number for the flies, but it was crazy high.
It was millions, wasn't it? That was
millions of them. I don't know. It was just crazy. And like, no one cares if it's cheap and everyone has them, because
it becomes the rest of fungible work, thing, doesn't it? At
yeah,
that point.
Exactly. And you're just like, and it should be the same for every artist. It's like, yeah, maybe don't mint everything you do because it's not good enough, but also have fun. Something is going to be scarce, others not. I mean, the only people you're going to deter if you focus too much on scarcity. If you don't focus enough on scarcity, it's going to be purely speculators who want to invest in a name. And I don't have anything bad to say about people who have more speculative and financial like reading of art in general. It's they have their purpose in the ecosystem. It's like it's normal. It's a good thing in a way. But as an artist, it's not those people that you are going to be the most interested in, because they care less about their art, and you could stamp your signature on any other NFT and it will be the same. So for these people, yeah, scarcity matters because they're just seeing the numbers, which is not bad, but then it's not, as an artist, you shouldn't care too much about that. What you should care about is doing something meaningful, relevant, that feels like some, you know, some, it has value, and it this value, whatever it is, stays. That's the thing. But I mean, obviously, if you're going to look at the market, it can always be interesting, right? Like, just mining a bit offer and demand is not necessarily a bad thing. I'm not advocating either for the artists just do whatever they want and then do stupid thing. But I think as experience and time goes, you get a feeling of rough boundaries that make sense, like something that feels rational and reasonable, not, you know, like, yeah. I think in the end, you get used to thinking if it's really sensible.
Yeah. Well, it's part of the exploration of the whole, like, what works, what doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because most artists, they just want to explore the art, not what's around it. And I don't know, I think it's interesting to mind a bit of these things without being obsessed. Because it's funny, like everyone is like, oh, speculators, blah, blah, blah. But actually there are a lot of artists in this space who are the artist version of these speculators, and they actually manage their output just like a company would do with products.
Yeah.
and they only mine the market. And because what they do is more like formulaic, it's going to be, I'm going to do the usual thing I do in my style. Right now, there's a bit of demand. I can offer that. And, you know, they just work like a store, managing a stock. Basically, that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I find it a bit funny that artists are usually the first one to criticize some collectors for being too speculative or not caring enough about the art. But they don't really say it to artists that have been collected and who have done something that really caters to that. So, you know, it's a bit like, maybe a bit hypocritical, I don't know. Sorry, maybe I went a bit off track, but...
No, it's all good. So, what are you, your participation here? Like, what have you been doing? Tell us about...
We're just behind the Cult booth. Cult of Crypto Art represents, so you're part of it, you know it. it's one of the oldest art collective in the space, which was funded and then exited by, unfortunately, a lot of money who didn't have a choice, but also by Eclectic Method, who I think is out of NFTs now, and Xcopy, obviously, and they're all out of the group, but then it grew and it became this really, really cool thing with mainly great people, mostly artists, but also a few curators, collectors and everything. And basically, I think we've been, for all these kind of events, I think we've turned into the kind of go-to punk garage band of crypto art.
Yeah.
I feel that way. I don't know if that's how you feel.
Yeah.
It's a bit like that. Like, we're having fun, we're throwing parties, we have always have DJs and musicians when we need to make something happen on that side too. And I don't know, like, everyone's been pretty creative and it's... it's very open-minded and we share, we don't retain information, we don't play games of hierarchy stuff and you should know that but not know that, despite the name Cult, I mean.
Yeah.
We are pretty flat and friendly and it's, I think for many people it's the kind of thing that gets you through there when you're feeling a bit down, even if you still like your art and everything. But you need to share with your digital village, right?
Yeah.
And Cult of Crypto Art is really like that digital village and also filled with lots of people with a great talent, very diverse style techniques, very diverse backgrounds. I think we're from like almost any possible place in the world.
How many members now?
100 plus, I don't know. We lost track, but... So, yeah. So basically, we have a booth. We're exhibiting 20 artists on the loop. Mm-hmm. And we also had a show a couple hours ago. And there were goodie bags and it went well. And that's it. Previous years were a bit more hectic because we had the party with the DJs to manage.
Yeah.
But this year, it was more like one show, one booth exhibiting. And that's about it, I think. Also, obviously, some members like Richie or I can't remember who else. Yu and Lorenz Fuller, maybe a few other people, have their own solo show. So it's like Cult friend show. It's not official Cult, but
yeah. Cult, but also independent. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's I think that was Ogar who said it. Like it's a Cult of Crypto Art is a spirit of what was it? I'm not going to scorch it. The spirit of collective independence, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's a great term.
That's what you get with an unruly mob of artists, right? You can't go more collective than that, it doesn't work, so it's good.
Was there a founding principle to Cult of Crypto Art?
No, I think we organically developed something that are not set in stone, but everyone respects. Like, at some point when the meme coin thing went crazy, many people were like, oh, maybe we should do a cult coin. And for example, I was always like, no, we don't want people to get through a pump and dump. Even if you don't want it to be a pump and dump, it's going to end like that at some point. And I'm always like, whatever you launch, it's going to zero at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe you will have a few good years if you're really good and the community responds to it and it's good. But it's going to fall down. And then at some point for people, this art collective that is about art is going to be to become a failed financial institution or something
like
that.
Yeah.
And it's
it opens up a lot of criticism. You know, yeah. It opens you up to it, right?
Yeah, and everyone would end up hating it, or, you know, and artists deserve better. So it's just like we make art. And if there's money to be made, it's not, collect art if you want, and we collect art, we do it ourselves. This is fine, but not playing this financial stuff. And basically that's it.
I totally agree. I feel like that would be the wrong direction to go. Even if it's fun in the moment, like, ultimately, there are losers in that situation. So.
And it would serve a purpose, because we've been dreaming of this thing of actually doing a true Court of Crypto Art event. You know, like, not as part of an event like that, but just pure court, like, have people come and just see concerts with DJ sets of the court, and then an exhibition of, over maybe 1 or 2 days. We're thinking about Amsterdam, maybe, or something like that. And it would be amazing, and we're like, maybe we could fund it with a token and be upfront, like, saying it's don't play this like a financial play. It's not made to make money. It's just made to fund that.
Sure.
But even that, it feels like no.
Yeah.
If we are going to make it one day, it will be another way. We find sponsors. We have a community wallet too. So maybe that one day it will be enough. But
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Luke. Pleasure.
It's a pleasure.